Okay, we're starting Torah Ayin in Likutei Moharan Chelek Aleph. Rabbi Nizal bases this Torah on a pasuk in Chumash, which he's going to explain all the way at the end. He's going to quote a pasuk, he's going to go into a whole topic explaining it, and then he's going to come back to this pasuk to show how it ties in. The pasuk is Vayihi Bayayim Hashmini. It was on the eighth day. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, Hashem made a period called Shmoinas Yemei Miluim, where Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol. He was the one who did the Avodah in the Mishkan, the service in the Mishkan, not Aharon. And the Torah here talks about, on the eighth day, Korah Moshe Li Aharon Olavano V'Lezikne Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu called together Aharon HaKohen, his sons, and all the leaders of Bnei Yisrael, to tell them certain information. This is what the Torah says. Rabbi Nizal now is going to explain a whole set of items and come back to this. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki chol hadvorim heim al ha'oretz kemoi shanu roim b'chush. Everything that we see is on the earth as we see with our eyes, period. Shehakol godel min ha'oretz. Everything grows from the ground. V'chol hadvorim v'habriyois chelchim umunochim al ha'oretz. And all items and all beings walk on and rest on the earth. And it's impossible for any human being or any item to be separated from the earth, from the ground, unless there is a force, a special physical force that's pushing it away from the ground. And there's two words that we're going to have to learn right now that I use in science. There's the word centrifugal and the word centripetal. Centrifugal force means when you have an item that's spinning round and round, you'll note that any items that are on the outside of it are pushed backwards to the perimeter of the item. In other words, let's say you have, there's a ride that they have in Palisades and Coney Island called the Roundup. What is it? You stand in a circular item, you stand locked in around the circle, around the edges of the circle, and this thing starts spinning round and round very quickly. Why don't you get thrown in some wild direction? Because the laws of science dictate that Hashem created, that when something spins round and round, the items that are on the perimeter of it are pushed, forced straight back. On all sides. In other words, the one who's standing over here, you picture the circle, the one who's on this side is being forced outward this way. The one who's on this side is being forced outward this way. Each one is being forced outward from where he's standing. There's a different force called centripetal force. There's centrifugal, F-U-G-A-L, and there's centripidal, P-I-D-A-L, which means a force inward, a force pushing things inward, which works differently. In other words, a force where when certain things are in motion in a certain manner, certain things are forced into the middle. This is the force that Rabbi Nizal is talking about in a sense here. Rabbi Nizal is talking about the force of gravity, as we know it. That's the word that we use, where we say that any item that exists on earth, whether it be a car, a tree, a person, anything, remains hooked up to the ground and cannot be separated from the ground unless there's a certain amount of energy used to push it off the ground, whether it be a rocket ship, whether it be a person who wants to separate himself from the ground, he has to expend a certain amount of energy to physically push up 100 pounds or 200 pounds to remove it from the ground. Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu al yedei sheyesh mi shemachriach hadavar, through the fact that there is a certain party who forces the item, v'noitloi mimekoimoi mehoretz, and takes it from its place on the ground, umarchikoi mimena, and separates it from the ground, ukefi koyach hamachriach kein nesrachek hadavar mehoretz. According to how much energy is being used to separate the item from the ground, that's what determines how far, distance-wise, it'll go from the ground. And when this force stops, the item returns to the ground. Kigoin, for example, Rabbi Nizal explains, in Zayrek Adam Dover Lamala, if a person throws an item upward, a person takes a ball and throws it up in the air, straight up, Azai Al Yedei Koichoi, through his energy, through the force that he expended to push it upwards, Machriach Hadavar, He forces the item, umafsikoi mehoretz, and he separates it from the ground. He makes a distance between this ball and the ground of 200 feet or 500 feet, depending on how strong an arm, depending on how much energy he uses to throw the item up. Ukefikoichoi, according to how strong this person is, he forces up the item, and throws it higher up, a higher distance. And after a few seconds, when this energy stops, shehu koyach hamachriach, which we're giving the name koyach hamachriach, this force that pushes outward in a sense, chizer hadavar v'neifei lahoretz, the item returns and falls to the ground. Rabbein Azal explains, why does this happen? Why is it that a person standing who throws a ball up, number one, it takes tremendous energy, a tremendous push to elevate it off the ground, and it rises for a period of time, then it gets to a certain point, and it starts returning. Why? Rabbein Azal explains. Rabbein Azal is going to explain the science behind it, then he's going to apply it to Kedusha. Rabbein Azal says, Ki ha'oretz yesh lo koyach ha'mishech, the earth has a force, a centripetal force of pulling into itself. Umamsheches kol hadvorim li'atzma, the earth was given a nature whereby it draws all items to itself. Kiim lav, if not for the fact that Hashem created the earth in this manner, lo'yhoyu yecheilem lehiskayim aleho, it would be impossible for us to exist on the earth. Why? Ki hoyoroi lipoil mimena, it would be logical for people to fall off the earth. Why? Machmas shehi kadulis, because the earth is roundish, it's oval shape, therefore it would be logical to say that people standing on the wrong side, on a different side, would fall off. And all people are standing around this ball. You have a ball that's oval shaped, and people are standing around it on the outside. It would be logical for them to fall off, if not for the fact, because of the fact that the earth was given this magnetic power of being able to pull into itself. Therefore, as soon as this force that's pulling in the opposite direction, a person threw an item, he exerted 10 units of energy to push that item away from the earth, as soon as those 10 units of energy get used up, and the item returns and begins its descent to the earth, you'll notice that kol ma shemiskariv yoyser lamato, as the item gets lower and lower back towards the earth, it flies and falls downward quicker. It picks up speed as it's going down. Why? Rabbein Azal explains, Ze machmas, this is because, shemiskarev lahakoyach hamoshech shel horetz. Because this item, which originally was 500 feet away from the magnetic force of the earth, and now it's starting to come closer to the magnetic force of the earth, the closer it gets, the stronger the pull is, and the pull makes it come faster. Alkein meifel b'mehirus yeser lamato. Therefore, this article speeds up as it descends towards the ground, towards the earth. Rabbein Azal says now, v'hatzadik hu bechinas ofor kanal. We know that tzadikim are many, many times compared to dirt, to the ground. Ki hatzadik hu yisoid olam, kemo shekosu v'tzadik yisoid olam. Tzadikim are called the foundation of the earth. V'chol hadvorim oimdim olav. All items stand, rest on the tzadik. And the tzaddik has a power, a magnetic power, to be able to draw everything to him. Everything. This tzaddik who we're talking about here is one in the world. He is the foundation of the world. שכל הדברים נמשכים ממנו. Everything emanates from him. Everything comes from him. ואפילו כל הצדיקים הם רק ענפים ממנו. And even all the other tzaddikim in the world are simply branches, extensions of this tzaddik. There is one, as the Navi says in Mishlei, who is v'tzaddik yesod olam, one tzaddik who's the foundation of the world, and he's compared to a tree many times, kelam etz hasadeh. The other tzaddikim are like branches of the tree. Rabbein Ezal says, שכל הדברים נמשכים ממנו, all items come from him, ואפילו כל הצדיקים הם רק ענפים ממנו, כל אחד לפי בחינוסוי. Each tzaddik, according to what level he's on, is a different aspect of a branch of this main tzaddik. יש שהוא בחינס ענף ממנו, there are tzaddikim whom we would categorize as being regular branches of the tzaddik emes, ויש שהוא בחינס ענף מן הענף, and there are those which are a branch of a branch. You have a tree that has thick branches on it. From these thick branches emanate thinner branches. So you have different levels of tzaddikim relative to the tzaddik emes. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki ze hatzaddik hayochid ba'olam." This one tzaddik, this singular tzaddik, who is the greatest tzaddik alive in every generation, who onov v'shofol, he's extremely humble. Umesim atzmoi ka'ofor, and he makes himself like dirt. He holds himself like the dirt of the ground, that low. Bebechinois, as the pasuk says. Avram Avinu once made a statement to Hashem where he said, "Va'onechi ofor vo'efer, I am dirt and ashes." So we see this concept of a tzaddik considering himself like ofor. Valkein hu yisoid olam. Therefore, we use this term that the tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Haynu bechinas ofor. The tzaddik is similar to dirt. Shekol hadvorim heim olav kanal. Everything, the whole world, is on the dirt. In other words, all the houses that we have today, and all the cars and buses and trees and animals, everything rests on the earth, on the dirt, as we would say. So therefore, if the tzaddik is the concept of ofor, it means that everything rests on him, everything is totally connected to him. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh she'onu mevakshim." This is why we beg Hashem in the Shemoneh Esrei. We say, "V'nafshi ke'ofor lakoel tiyeh." Hashem, please let my soul be like dirt. What do we mean? Hainu, the person is asking Hashem, "She'yihi Eloi koyach hamoshech." The person is begging Hashem that Hashem should give this person this type of magnetic force, lahamshich hakoel elov ke'ofor kanal, to be able to draw things to himself like dirt. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal is explaining a different pirush on this tefillah. We assume generally that when we say benafshi ke'ofor lakotiyah, we're davening for humbleness. We're asking Hashem, "Hashem, let me be zeche to consider myself as humble as dirt to all people, to those who are greater than me, to those who are equal to me, to those who are smaller than me." Rabbeinu Zal says a person has to have anivus to everybody. Rabbeinu Zal here says a different thing, that when we ask Hashem, "Hashem, please make me like dirt," we're asking, "Hashem, please give me everything I need." Meaning, let me be zeichet to be like the dirt. Just like the dirt draws everything to itself, let me have that property of being able to draw to myself. To draw what to myself? Everything that I need. Whether it be friends, whether it be parnosa, whether it be a rebbe, whatever I need, I should have this power, this magnetic pull, to be able to draw to myself whatever I need for my existence. Rabbeinu Zal says now, V'zeh hatzadik mamshich kol ha-hashpois loilam. This tzadik, who excels in this concept of humbleness to such a degree, he is the one who draws all shefa to the world. B'bechinois, as the pasuk says, V'afrois zohov, and the dust of gold. Rabbeinu Zal says gold symbolizes all shefa, money, parnosa. The gold comes from afrois, from ofor, from one who considers himself like ofor. The tzaddik who is like ofor, he is the root, the mokor for zohar, for all shefa. Shekol ha-hashpois nimshochim lebechinas ofor, mea tzaddik anal, all shefa comes from the dirt, which is this tzaddik whom we're talking about. V'im kain, therefore, v'al kain, therefore, im noisnin tztoko lozeh tzaddik. If a person is zeiche to give tztoko to this tzaddik, hu mizborech miyad, that person is blessed immediately. Why? Ki hu bechinas zriyo al he'ofor shemetzameach kefel kiflayim. This is the concept of planting on very, very fertile dirt. Bebechinois, as the Pasuk says in Novi, zaru lachem litzdoko v'kitzru lefi chosed. Plant your charity and cut your kindness. We see this concept of planting by tzedakah. That tzedakah is a concept of planting, which means, depending on what type of soil you plant on, that's what will determine how good an item you're doing. In other words, if you plant on a soil that has a lot of rocks in it, let's say, the item won't grow that well. If you plant in a place where it's just dirt alone, obviously that item is going to grow best and quickest. The Tzaddik Emes is one who is really Bechinas Ofer, total Ofer, with no impurities in it. Rabbi Nizal says, Avolim noisein tzedakah lemi she'enoi Bechinas Ofer klal, but if a person chas v'shalom gives tzedakah to a rabbi who is not Bechinas Ofer, who doesn't have this humbleness, Einoy oise peiros. Chas v'shalom, that tzedakah will not bear fruit for the person. It won't bring dividends. Rabbi Nizal says, v'ze shekilel Yirmiyahu es anshei anosois. Yirmiyahu Anovi once got very angry at the people of a certain city, the people of Anosois, and he cursed them, the Novi says. And what did he say? He davened to Hashem, be'es apecho asei bohem. Hashem, when you get angry, please fix these people. The Gemara says, what was he implying? The Gemara says in Baba Kama that he was implying Hachshilom ba'aniyim she'enam mehugonim. He wasn't asking Hashem chas v'shalom to kill the people. He said, Hashem, please let them get messed up by giving tzedakah to poor people who aren't worthy. Ones who are not worthy, meaning, Hainu she'enom bebechinas ofor klal, people who are not in this category of ofor, v'alkein hatzdoka she'nosin lohem eino bebechinas zriyo klal, the charity that's given to those types of people, you wouldn't categorize it as planting at all. If a person plants on a cement road, you don't call that planting. That's nothing. So this was the tefillah of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that they should be nichshal and giving tzedakah to ones who aren't worthy, meaning that their tzedakah shouldn't bring them any dividends, any shefa. They should be cut off from being able to receive shefa. Rabbi Nizal explains now a whole concept. Vehine hoyoroi, based on what we just said, it would be logical to say, if this tzaddik is so great that he's like the ground, just like the ground has this gravitational pull whereby it draws everything to itself, it would be logical to say that the greatest tzaddik alive in every generation has a similar type of gravitational pull to be able to draw everybody to himself, to be able to draw the whole world close to himself. Rabbi Nizal says, Shehu Bechinas Ofer, because he is this concept of Ofer, the ground. Sheyesh lo koyach ha-meshech hanal, he has this drawing power. Ach, however, Rabbi Nizal says, Al yedei koyach ha-mafriach, through the centrifugal force, pushing outward, through the force that pushes away, mafsikin umarchikin mimenu. This is what causes people to get separated and moved a distance away from the tzaddik. Meaning, Rabbi Nizal explains, Hainu sheyesh b'nei odom, there are people, she'al yedei diburam umaaseihem, through their words and through their actions, he machrichim es b'nei odom, they force people, lahafsikom ulaharchikom mehatzadik hanal. They push people away from the tzadik emes. It's their words by speaking against the tzadik emes, or their actions of trying to snare people different ways away from coming close to tzadikim. This is what causes this gravitational force to be chopped off. Ulafi koyach hamachriach, and according to how powerful a force it is that's pushing people away from the tzaddik, kein marchik mehatzaddik hanal. That's how distant the person becomes from the tzaddik. V'achakach, and afterwards, kisheyafsik koyach hamachriach, when this force stops, when these people stop speaking against the tzaddik and they stop pushing people away from the tzaddik, yachzor v'yamshich atzmoi v'yiskarev l'hatzaddik. The world will find itself drawn towards the tzaddik, to come close to the tzaddik, shehu bechinas ofor kanal, who is this category of ofor. Because as soon as the centrifugal force stops, Yoshuv leha ofor lahatzadik kanal, everything returns to the ground, it returns to the tzadik. Sheyesh lo koyach hamoshech kanal, who has this gravitational force that we mentioned. The Alkein, Rabbi Nezal says, that's why Yesh Bnei Adam Shem Rechikim Ma'oid Me'at Tzadik. There are people who are very, very far from the Tzadik. Machmas Shehem Adayon Bekoyach HaMachriach HaMarachikosam. Because they are still within this centrifugal force that's pushing them outward, away from the ground, away from the Tzadik. Avol Achakach Kishayafsik Koyach HaMachriach. But as soon as this Koyach HaMachriach stops, Yachzeru v'yiskarvu kanal, they will return and come close to the tzadik emes. Rabbeinu Zal says this will also explain why we find kishodom nisa lahatzadik, when a person travels to a tzadik, kol mashiskariv lomokim hatzadik yoser, the closer that the person gets to the place of the tzadik, to the residence of the tzadik, yeshloi cheshek yoser, he builds up a stronger desire for coming to the tzadik. Machmas shemiskariv yoser lekoyach hamoshech, because it works in the same manner that gravity works. The closer the article gets to the ground, it picks up speed. Why? Because it has a stronger cheshek for the ground. The pull becomes stronger. As the article gets closer to the ground, the pull is stronger. If it gets removed, the further removed the way it is, the less quick it returns to earth. And Rabbi Nezal says, similarly, when a person travels to the tzaddik, if he has to travel a distance, he'll notice that the closer he gets, the more he literally feels an excitement, where he feels like he wants to run. As he gets closer, that feeling increases of wanting to run. He feels himself pulled more. Why? Because he's coming closer to the source of this gravitational force. Any questions?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can you go slightly slower?
Okay, I'll try.
This would seem to imply that the default is to everybody should go to the tzaddik.
100%. This is a concept that Rabbi Nezal puts forth in this Torah, which again is so logical. Rabbi Nezal expounds on this on his Maisa mi ben Melech ben Shifcha Shenechlefu. You take any person, let's take the people in this room, we're 20 years old. In other words, Miriam and Nachman are 2 years old. For them, we could understand that it's logical for them to enjoy playing with toys, to enjoy food, to enjoy sleep, to enjoy silly items. Why? Because they don't have das. They know very little about what life is about. As soon as a person studies a little bit of Torah or a little bit of religion and becomes aware of the fact that this world is temporary, there are people who live on this world 100 years, very rare though, majority is 70, 80 years, there are people who leave after 5 years, after 2 years, whatever it is, different people, and a person is told that everything here, the steaks that you ate when you were 6 years old, if you were to try to picture the taste in your mind, you couldn't. The ball that you played, you can't. All of it turns to nothing. The only item that returns to something is the mitzvahs, the Torah that you study, the mitzvahs that you do. Once a person is given that initial information, tell me the truth, isn't it ridiculous and completely illogical for such a person to derive a lot of pleasure from food, from eating, or from sleeping, or from playing ball? Why? Because again, he knows he's already of the intelligence mentality that this is silly, this does nothing for me pretty much. This does so much for me. This will get me eternity. Once a person is given that knowledge, Rav Moshe Zal says, it's obvious that the person should be drawn, magnetic, he should run. Anytime he has a chance to do tzitzis, tefillin, any mitzvah, he should be thrilled. It should be the biggest thrill enjoyment possible. And yet we find it's not like that. We find that when a person comes into the house and they smell the food, smell a delicious steak and the potatoes and everything, they get filled with a simcha, and they go to that with a zrizus and with a happiness, and the person looks like he's in a state of ecstasy. We're talking honestly now. This is the story. And when you ask a person to go to a shir, you see that his body is very schleppy, it's a strain to get to it, and once you're doing it even, it's very hard to get to a level where you enjoy it. And Rav Moshe Zal points out, isn't this insane? isn't this really nutty, crazy? In other words, if you know, I'm not talking about it, talking about once over 12 years, you know that this is silly, this amounts to nothing, and this is the greatest wealth conceivable. Torah, 5 minutes of tefillah, you say 10 chapters of Tehillim, you've just acquired for yourself millions and whole blocks of mansions, like a whole national drive in Mill Basin, you just acquired that whole thing now, just with saying 10 chapters of Tehillim. Shouldn't there be a spectacular excitement and, you know, why isn't it like that? Why is it that the human nature is the other way? Rav Moshe Zal says, it's the story of this Torah. You want to know the truth? Rav Moshe Zal says, take it from me. The truth is that if we were to leave things alone, if there weren't any force involved, the norm would be for a person to be thrilled with Torah and Tefillah, and not to derive any great thrill from eating, sleeping, women, all of that stuff. Elamai. Rav Moshe Zal says every sin that a person does, every avera that a person commits, chas v'shalom, what he does is he pours gasoline, fuel, into the koyach hamachriach, within himself. He energizes, he adds energy to this koyach hamachriach, which pushes him away from kedusha. The more sins a person does, he builds up a unit of 80 units of energy, which is enough, like, to force a rocket ship off the ground, to push him so far away from the earth, from the norm, whereby it becomes chas v'shalom the opposite, where his nature changes in such a silly manner, where to listen to a shir is horrible for him. It's very it takes a strain, a difficulty, and to eat a piece of candy or good food is an enjoyment to him. And Rav Moshe Zal says, we're telling you this. Why are we giving you this information? To know that this is what you have to ask Hashem to help you, b'zecha to do tshuva, to cleanse yourself of your sins, to cleanse yourself of this wall that you've put up that's separating you from the tzaddik, number one, and that's separating you from the norm. The norm is on the ground. You built up a building. You're standing on top of an Empire State Building. At the top of the Empire State Building, the gravitational force isn't that powerful. That's why you don't feel yourself drawn to the norm. You feel yourself floating, sort of, and even, in a sense, closer to heaven. You know, closer to the sky, which is not the concept of a tzaddik here or kedusha. Whereas if you daven to Hashem, make me normal, I'm just asking to be normal. That's the truth here. We're not asking to be spectacular. People say the religious ones are fanatics. They're the norm. It's the other people who have a fanatical drive to push themselves. They actually exert a tremendous unit of energy to push themselves away from what their normal sanity would dictate for them to do. Because if a person were sane, sanity dictates to be religious, to serve Hashem and everything. The Gemara says in Seita, "Lo'ela meidanam chaytayon kenichmas by ruach shtus," which means that the norm, if nothing from the outside comes in, the norm is the good inclination. It's if a person draws upon himself bad thoughts or bad desires, that's what will make him go the wrong way. Chas v'shalom.
It's why is it we get the evil inclination before we get the good inclination? It's really, we're starting already pushing away.
The answer is because if not, there wouldn't. Chas v'shalom, not true. When does the good inclination come? From the moment a child is conceived, he's given a malach tov that studies Torah with him for the whole 9 month period. The satan comes at a later time. La Pesach Chatas Revitz. The Satan first comes to a person. I know what you're saying. The Yetzer Tov comes at Bar Mitzvah, but you have to admit, in a sense, that the Satan comes late. Because factually, for 9 months, the person is a tzaddik. Tanya, Mashbi, and I say the tzaddik. For your first 9 months, you were a tzaddik. You were Kodesh. You were normal. Now you're going out into an insane asylum, into a Bellevue, one big Bellevue hospital. Watch it that you shouldn't become crazy. That's the warning that's being given. And that's what Rabbeinu Zal is stressing here. And let's challenge any intelligent person to deny this. That what's being said here is true, that the norm should be that if this person is the most humble person in the world, of course, nobody should be drawn to wealthy people, to Rockefellers or Goyim Lahavdil, or even to Jews who don't have much to offer. Who should people be drawn to in every generation? To the Moshe Rabbeinu. While Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, isn't it silly to say that people didn't yearn, thirst, have an unquestionable thirst to see him and to go into his house and to speak to him and to hear from him? Why? Because he is Bechina Sofra, which everything is drawn to. Yeah. And it's only the Koyach HaMachriach, people who spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, or Averos. Rabbeinu Zal doesn't talk about that here, he talks about another Torah, that each Avera that a person does, he builds up a Mosach HaMavdil, a Mechitza, he sets up a barrier, that a lead wall, that blocks this gravitational force from being able to take effect.
Mainly the people speaking against the Tzaddik Emes.
Exactly.
Is that involved in every type of Koyach HaMachriach? Like, there's a connection to that?
Put it this way, that's the most potent one, because the Gemara says clearly that if a person has a... there's no question at all that it would be very easy for him to go to shul, to drive 20 miles to get to a shul, or to get up early in the morning on a cold day. All of that would come easy. Elamai, why is it difficult? Because there's Maria Samayach, because it's not definite in the person's mind. Not Chas V'Shalom that we're saying that you don't believe at all, but your emunah is lacking. Because if you really saw Hashem right in front of you, and you knew that what does Hashem have to offer to you? Everything. Anything good that you want, this is the multi-billionaire uncle that you have who could give you anything that you want, just listen to him. And he said, get up in the morning and go to shul. If a person really had that emunah, there would be no problem. What causes the emunah not to be that strong? A person has doubts. Rabbi Nizal says that the most powerful doubts that a person has generally come from people. Speaking to people who are lacking in emunah, that's what could weaken a person most. In other words, a person could have a desire to come close to a tzaddik. You have the Maisa Miravu Ben Yochid that Rabbeinu Zal told. He is a child who wanted so much to come close to a tzaddik and everything. And what happened was somebody made a joke about the tzaddik, and that cooled the whole thing off. In other words, a person, any person deterring, that could be the most powerful mania conceivable, usually. And that's what Rabbeinu Zal is addressing in this Torah, the mania coming from people who speak against that item.
What are the signs that a person can know that this tzaddik is tzaddik as well?
One of them, Rabbeinu Zal says right here, humbleness. The one who is definitely the most humble one.
How
do you tell humble? How do you tell humble? Maybe by you all tzaddikim are humble.
How do you tell tzaddik is humble?
The answer is that's a pigam. Put it this way, a person could be a very big Talmud Chacham and yet not be humble. A person could even be tzaddik and lacking in humbleness. There is such a thing. Put it, proof is that Hashem made a big, big deal saying, V'ho'ish Moshe onov ma'od mikol adam, which means all men is not created equal. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble, which means that Aaron HaKohen was less humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. Does that mean that Aaron HaKohen was a Baal Gaiva? The answer is, compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was less humble. He had more Gaiva. Miriam, in other words, and so on and so forth, to the point where you get people who have 100% Gaiva. But the slightest imperfection of humbleness is a little bit of Gaiva. That's what it is.
How could a person be
He has to look with an Ein HaEmes. He has to try to judge with his own eyes as best as he can. And he has to beg Hashem to show him. If a person says, Hashem, I'm so dumb, I don't even know Chumash or Navi, how can you expect me to be able to look at people and figure out who's more humble, who's less? Therefore, I admit to you that I am this dumb and this blind, and therefore I beg of you, please guide me. V'sakneinu bi'etza teva mechonecha. Please guide me, show me, lead me to the tzadikim who could help me most. I believe B'mina Shlema, as the Gemara says, that in every generation there are great tzaddikim around who can purify a Jew, who can bring him up to the highest levels. Hashem, please bring me close to them. And if a person happens like that, he's guaranteed that Hashem will do it. Hashem will help him, and Hashem will show him, will open his eyes, will bring him close to the tzaddik who is the most humble one in every generation, which is the Reish Ones. From Averis that a person does, from his own lack in emunah. Rabbeinu Zal presents one example of it here. Okay.
The Babish of Eretz, thousands of Jews live around him, and thousands come running to him. But if you picture it, like he's like the dust of the earth or the soil, the ones who are around them are real close, so they don't have to go that distance. You know, when you jump that high, you have to come down as well. But the ones far away, they come running, they come speeding through.
But you'll notice, hold on a second, but you'll ask any of them who travel from a distance, do they feel a change?
when they're 500 miles away or when they come into the neighborhood already, there's definitely a change. Any person coming to a Rebbe, any tzaddik, will feel it as you come. Why? Because every single tzaddik has a degree of this. Each one more or less, depending on how great a tzaddik he is. But Rabbi Nezal is saying, the question is why? The answer is because as you come closer to his magnetic force, the pull is stronger. That's literally what it is. Okay, let's do the next paragraph. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'zeh b'chinas mishkon." This is the whole concept of the mishkon that the Jews had while they were in the desert. Why was it called Mishkan? The word Mishkan means residence. The word Mishkan is also similar to the word Meshech, to draw. The Mishkan was a magnetic force. What did it draw to itself? Not apples, not pears. It drew heavenliness. It drew Hashem. The Mishkan was given a magnetic force that wherever it was able to suck Hashem into itself. When it was on this street, Kaviyachol, it drew Hashem into itself over here. When the Mishkan moved 30 blocks down in the desert, it drew Hashem into itself in that place. But the Chinois, as the Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Moshcheni, draw me, Acharecho Norutzo. I will chase after you. Rabbi Nezal says, Acharecho norutzo daiko. It says, I will chase, I will run after you. Why does it use the term run? Ki kol ma shemiskarev yeser elov. The more a person comes closer to Hashem, or to a tzaddik, who rots be yeser, he finds himself running quicker. Machmas koyach hamayshechanal, because of this drawing power. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ukemuva b'medrash," as is brought in the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says that one of the reasons why the Mishkan was called Mishkan is miloshen mashkein. The word mashkein means collateral, meaning shehamishkan hu loshen mashkein shehu mashkein liYisrael shetishre shchina etzlam afilu im yechtu chas v'shalom. The Mishkan was a type of collateral that Hashem handed over to the Jews, so that even if they would sin against Him, this was the collateral. In other words, the guy, when a person borrows money, Reuven lends money to Shimon, and Shimon gives Reuven his watch to hold as collateral. That means that no matter where Reuven moves away, Shimon is going to be drawn to him. Why? Because he has my watch. He has something, a part of me, that I'll always want back, no matter what. That's the concept of collateral. Rabbi Nezal says that's, the Medrash says that's one of the reasons why Mishkan was called Mishkan, Miloshin Mashkan. It was like Hashem's watch, which he gave over to the Jews. The Jews owe Hashem service. Chayev Adam L'Haniach Tzitzis Chayev. It's a debt. What if they relinquish on their debt? So the lender would want to just walk away. This is what draws the two together, the fact that there is this mashkin, this collateral. So as the Pasuk says, V'nosati mishkoni v'seichechem. Hashem says, I will place my mishkon among you. V'loisiga al nafshi eschem. And my soul will not refuse you, like, will not repel you, that type of thing. Hashem says that it's the Mishkan that'll always tie me to you, this collateral. Rabbi Nimtza, Shal Yedei HaMishkan HaShchina Sheira BiYisrael, through the Mishkan, that's what guarantees that the Shechina will always be with Bnei Israel. Hainu Kanal, as we said previously, Ki Mishkan Loshin Moshcheni. The word Mishkan is Miloshin Meshech, to draw. It draws Hashem to Bnei Israel. Sheyeshloi Bechinas Koyach HaMeshech. The Mishkan was given this gift of this magnetic pull. Lahamshech Eleikus Lamokim Shehoyoim Eitsham. To draw heavenliness, to draw Hashem to whatever place it resided in. By the way, in Sipurei Maaseis and in places in Novi and in the Gemara, it mentions a certain item that whenever a tzaddik came to a certain place, he was given four items: a bed, a table, a candle, and a chair. Those items are mentioned together in Novi by Elisha Novi, and in the Gemara in a few places it talks about these items. Mito, Shulchan, Kiseiner, which the Mephoshim bring, that's Rosh Hashanah's Mishkan. Wherever a tzaddik goes, Kaviyachol, that's a Mishkan. The tzaddik is Koyach HaMoshech, which draws to himself a Lekus and everything. Wherever he has this Mito, Shulchan, Kiseiner, that place becomes a Mishkan, a place of Elikus. For example, when Aaron HaKohen was buried, the Medrash brings the story that he took him up to the mountain, they entered into a room, and into a cave, and they saw in the cave a bed that was made, and a table, and a chair, and a candle. And Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron HaKohen to lie down on the bed, and that's how he was nistalek. But that, why does it say those four items? The answer is that symbolizes this Mishkan, this Mokor of Elikus, this place where Elikus is.
Okay, had all these items at Aaron HaKohen?
Exactly. And it's I've seen it brought a few other, I don't remember this second where, but I recall seeing it in a few places in the Gemara where it mentions these, a person went to Mita Shulchan Kiseiner, these items together. It's brought in a story in Sipuri Maaseis, in one of the stories, the Ben Melech Ben Shifcha at the end, and it's brought in many places in the Gemara. Now you understand why these items are tied together. They make up the first letters of Mita Shulchan Kiseiner, make up the word Mishkan. Okay, Rabbi Nezal says, V'alkein i'ep. Okay, so we see that the Mishkan is similar, in a sense, to the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik has this Koyach HaMoshech, the Mishkan has the Koyach HaMoshech. Rabbi Nezal says, V'alkein, this would explain why, i'efsher lo hokemes ha-Mishkan, elo ha-Tzaddik shehu b'china sofor. The only one who is authorized to put up the Mishkan is the Tzaddik, who is b'china sofor, which is Moshe. What about Aaron HaKohen? What about the Shekhinah Zaken? Are we saying that they were bad? No. But there is relativity. In other words, no man, no two people are alike. This is brought throughout the Gemara and throughout the Sefer Kabbalah. No two people are alike, which means that regarding Chachma, there are no two people who are exactly equal. Regarding Anivus, humbleness, there are no two people who are exactly equal. In every generation, there is one who is the most humble. In Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, it was he. Therefore, he was the one individual, one alone. Not that they elected a committee. The Torah says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you are the one who are being given the task of putting up the Mishkan. And the Pasuk says, Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan. V'achar lo yehoye yochel hakimoi. No other one was capable of putting it up. Why? Ki dafko zeh hatzadik shehu b'china sofor. It's only this tzadik who is this complete purity in the concept of dirt, b'chinas koyach HaMoshech, who has this perfect magnetic power, Yochel Lohokim HaMishkan. He's the one who's worthy of putting up the Mishkan. Shehu Bechinas Koyach HaMoshech Laham Shecho Lekus Kanal. The Mishkan is this place, this building of magnetic force, whose purpose it is to draw Kaviyachol Hashem into it, to draw Elokus into it. Period. Rabbi Nezal says, V'zeh Shekosuv, this is what the Pasuk says in Chomesh, Loi meirubchem choshak Hashem bochem. Hashem says, my liking of the Jews is not because they are many. Ki atem hamaat mikol hamim. You know why I love the Jews? Because they are the smallest of all the nations. That's what draws me to them more than anybody else. Because they are the smallest in numbers. That's what it's talking about here. V'dorsh razal, and the Gemara darshins on it, that it doesn't mean quantity here, it means quality. The Gemara darshins, rak machmas she'atem mam'itim atzmeichem, it's because you lower yourselves, you make yourselves small, you consider yourselves humble, that's what causes choshak Hashem bochem, that's what causes Hashem to like you. By the way, this ties in beautiful. The fact that Rabbi Nezal is using the word cheshek here, a drawing that Hashem is drawn to the one who is humble. We mentioned that the Chidozal brings Eila Toles Noyach, Noyach Ish Tzadik. That the last letters of Noyach Ish Tzadik make up the word cheshek. You see that the Tzadik is one who has this cheshek for Kiddusha number one, and number two, Kaviyochol, he is the one whom Hashem has a cheshek towards, a cheshek towards him. Rabbi Nezal says, Because the Jews lower themselves and consider themselves very small, that's what makes them this concept of offer, which has this drawing power. The whole Jewish nation is like a Mishkan. That's why the Pasuk says, V'osuli Mishkan v'shachanti. The Gemara says, it doesn't say, build for me a house and I will live in it. The Pasuk says, build for me a house and I will live in you. The Gemara dashes that each Jew has to build a Mishkan within himself. What is the Mishkan? The Mishkan is the shiflus within that person. Proof is, we know that anything physical is temporary. We just explained that Gashmias is a temporary item. Elikus, spiritual, is eternal, right? The Gemara says, what chelik of the person is there that is eternal, that will be eternal, that will come back in Tchiyas HaMesim? The only portion of a person that will come back in Tchiyas HaMesim is the shiflus, the humbleness of the person. So we see that the elokus within a person is the shiflus within that person. And the gashmius within a person is the gaiva within the person. Moshe Zal says in the Kotei Halachos many times that any gashmius, any baseness that you see within a person, whether it be taiva sachila, that's all a concept of gaiva, because a shofel would never have that type of attitude towards food or anything.
What do you mean by the shiflus as well? Come back and
that's what the Gemara says.
Dust or
no? That's in other words, the Gemara says, there's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim. In Tchiyas HaMesim, will the whole person come back? Or is this not necessarily? If a person had 10% shiflus, 10% of that person, chas v'shalom, will come back. How do we measure? What does it mean? One finger? The answer is, we should be zecher to get to see it. We don't explain this in physical terms, but this is what the Gemara says, meaning that that's what we consider the spiritual within a person. The humbleness is spiritual, the gaiva is physical, it's tangible, it's a zhlab. Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein choshak Hashem bochem. That's why Hashem has a desire, a craving for Bnei Yisrael. This is what the Pasuk also says in Yeshaya Novi, Eshkoin es dakol. Here we see the whole thing brought together. Hashem says, I will rest with the humble one, with the poor person. Eshkoin, the Shechina, the Mishkan is where? By dako, by the one who has shiflus. Rabbi Nizal says, Kyalidei shiflus, through humbleness, Sheme simatzmei kofor, where a person makes himself like dirt, that's what gives him this magnetic force to draw Hashem to himself. Now you picture the hispidus that a person could have on this Torah and a person says to Hashem, Hashem, I was just taught the secret. I was just given one of the most valuable pieces of information imaginable. Rabbi Nizal just came along and for no charge at all, handed me a magnet. But this isn't a magnet that draws paper clips. A magnet that draws Hashem. Literally. Hashem just gave me a big 800-pound magnet that I can hold on to that'll draw Hashem magnetically to me. What is the magnet? Shiflus. Hashem, please let me be zeichet to have this quality of anivus and shiflus, which gives me this potential, this capability, this capacity of drawing you into myself. This is what Hashem wants. Hashem says in the Torah, I request of you, va'osuli mikdash, I want to be with you. Hashem says, va'osuli mikdash v'shochanti b'seichem, meaning Hashem lets it be known, where do I want to be? I want to be in the heart of every Jew. Here, Rabbi Nizal tells you what the secret weapon is. What's the magnet? The magnet is shiflus. Know how important an item this is to daven for, because the more you have it, the more of Hashem you'll have in you. The less anivus you have, it means the less Hashem is by you. That's the concept of the tzaddik emes. When we say different talmidei chachamim, does it mean if he knows 100 pages of Gemara that he's tzaddik? The answer is that's silly. You have professors in university who know 50 pages of science book. That doesn't make them tzaddik. Tzaddik is classified, this is the main item that distinguishes among tzaddikim. When the Torah looked for an item to praise Moshe Rabbeinu, isn't it silly that the Torah didn't write at least 50, 60 things about him? He was smart and good-hearted and kind-hearted and tall and hip. The Torah said one item, that's the only item that we have to, that means that he was the one who had the most Hashem in him. Just like that. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, the word Moshe is the letters Hashem, literally. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who made himself into such nothing, there was nothing of himself, that all that there was within him was Hashem, the presence of Hashem. He obliterated everything, all the Gashmias within him, all the Gaiva within him, so that there was 100% room for Hashem to reside in him. And that's the story with each person, according to how much Gaiva he has. The Gemara says, Hamizgoy, he's Deichek, the Ragli Hashchina. He pushes Hashem away. That's what we're talking about here, centrifugal force and centripetal. You want to draw Hashem to you? The secret is anova. You want to chas v'shalom push Hashem away from you? Gaiva. Now figure out how important an item this is for a person to daven for. How many hours a week a person could spend begging Hashem, please, this is such a serious item. This isn't a joke. I'm told clearly that this is what makes the difference. This is what separates the men from the boys, the men from the yo-yos, from the nothings. This one item, anivos. This is what determines how much Hashem will be willing to come to you, to speak to you, to teach you, to be with you. A person has to know how much to beg Hashem.
Why did you tell me what the truth is today? So you told me for lying. You say cover the whole thing. Say,
the fact.
Humbleness, no doubt, cover everything.
Now you know you have to go back.
Yeah.
To bring you back to Israel, to be able to deserve. But this you can daven for anywhere. In Brighton Beach, in Odessa, wherever it is, a person can call out to Hashem and beg, let me be zeichet to become a mishkan for Hashem. Okay, Rabbein Azal says now, this will explain why the word kavod is used by the Mishkan, as the pasuk says, v'nikdash b'kvodi, that coming into the Mishkan, a person will become holy through the honor of Hashem that was present in the Mishkan. As the pasuk says, u'kevod Hashem mole es hamishkan, the kavod of Hashem filled the Mishkan. Why? Rabbein Azal explains. Any honor that any human being has in this world, from the smallest one to the biggest one, kulam he mekablim rak mizeh hatzadik shehu bechinas ofor, bechinas mishkan. Any kavod that any human being has, he gets via the tzadik, who is the bechina mishkan, the humblest tzadik. The kulam mekablim imenu, all people of the world draw their kavod from the tzadik emes. Kama shekosuv, kol mokim shatamoitze gedulosoi, shom atamoitzen v'sanusoi. Wherever you find gedula, know that it's hooked up to anivus. It's coming from the one who is the most humble. Nimtza, sheba mokim hashiflus v'hakatnus, Shom Shire Kol HaKavod V'Hagdula, that in the place where there is the best perfection of Shiflus and Katnus, that's where all the Kavod really is. Kemo Shekosu, as the Pasuk says, Eshkoin Ezdako, Hashem guarantees whoever will be humble, I'll be with him. Who is the greatest mocker of Kavod? Hashem. Hashem is Kavod. V'Yavoy Melech HaKavod. If Hashem will be with the humble one, it means that the humble one will have the most Kavod conceivable. V'alkein, therefore, kol haroshim sheba'olam, all the leaders of the world, mekablim kevoidom mizeh hatzadik shehu b'china sofer, draw their kavod from the tzadik who is b'china sofer. Any kavod that they get is coming from the tzadik. V'chein hischadshus hakavod, and whenever this item is rejuvenated, whenever it's strengthened, renewed, also comes through the tzaddik. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki bechol pam nischadesh hakavod." Every single day there is a hischadshus of kavod. New people are getting elevations in their jobs, in political positions. People are being elevated constantly. Shezeh hamemuna bo lehismanas acher. This appointee rises to a higher appointmentship. V'nischadesh haroshios v'hakavod, and the leadership and honor is nischadesh. And it all, who Rabbi Nizal says, who hakol al yedei zeh hatzadik, and it all comes via the tzadik emes. Ki kefi hakomosi es hamishkan b'chol pam, according to how the tzadik sets up this mishkan that he builds in every single generation, Shemishom bo ha-kavoid, that's the place where all kavoid emanates from. The Bechina says, the Pasuk says, u-kevoid Hashem mole es ha-mishkon, that what's the place where all the kavod of Hashem is? In the Mishkon. Kein nischadesh kol ha-kavoid v'horosho es kanal. That's what determines all the appointeeship that goes on throughout the whole world, lahavdol by the Goyim, and especially by the Yidden, is all determined based on how the tzaddik emes of that door is going about the putting up of the Mishkan. Rav Enizal says, "Vezeh." With this, we could understand the pasuk that we base this Torah on. The pasuk says, "Vayhi bayoyim hashmini." It was on the eighth day of the Chanukas Hamishkan when they had first completed the putting up of the Mishkan. Kara Moshe Rabbeinu called out Li'aron Ulevonot to Aaron HaKohen and his sons, Ulezikne Yisrael, and to all the leadership of Bnei Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki kishe hatzadik tzorich likrois es roshei ha'om, when the tzadik has to call out to the leaders of the Jewish nation, Hu kairei oisom boze shehu meken es hamishkan. He calls out to them, he links to them, he hooks up to them by putting up the Mishkan. It's through his Mishkan that he hooks up to all the leaders of the entire world. Vaideze kairei oisom. That's how he calls them. When you call a person generally, what are you calling him for? To get him to come to you. You say, Shlemi, and by saying that you get him to come to you. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki kulam boim elov lekabel hakovoid mimenu. All the leaders of the Jewish nation and all the leaders of the world come to the tzaddik to draw kavod from him. Vezeh, this is why the pasuk says there, Bayoim hashmini, on the eighth day, Sheheke Moshe Samishkan, after Moshe Rabbeinu had put up the Mishkan, Al Yidezeh, through that, Koro Moshe Li Aharon Ulevono Vulezikne Yisrael. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu called out to all the leadership of Bnei Israel, Shehem Kalal Roshei Ho'om Mikoton Vad Godel. These, Aaron and his children, and all the leaders of the Jews, that pretty much covers all the leadership of the Jewish nation. Rabbi Nizal says, Kal Yidei HaKomas HaMishkon Koro Eskol Roshei Ho'om. Through Moshe Rabbeinu's act of physically putting up the Mishkan and all the spiritual items that were involved in it, by doing that, that's how he called out to the leadership, Shehem Bechinas Aaron Uvonov Kanal, as we explained before. Rabbi Nizal says, with this we can understand a whole new concept. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there are four Rosh Hashanahs. One of the Rosh Hashanahs, coincidentally, is coming up this week. Tu Bishvat, which is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonai, the Rosh Hashanah for trees. However, one of the Rosh Hashanahs that are listed in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Le'malachim. There is a Rosh Hashanah for kings. There is one set time in the world when heaven appoints all leaders of the world. When is that? Nisan. Rabbi Nizal says, this is what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Shen Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'malachim, that the month of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. Why? Why Nisan? Rabbi Nizal explains the answer here. Ki oz hoyo hakomas hamishkan. What month did Moshe Rabbeinu complete the putting up of the Mishkan in? The month of Nisan. Shemishom nimshach hakovoid shel malachim shel kol hamemunim voroshim kanal. It's from the Mishkan that there emanates forth all the kavoid that all the kings of the world have. Where does it come from? From the Mishkan. When was the Mishkan put up? In Nisan? That's why the appointeeship of kings generally is in Nisan, in the month of Nisan. The question is, okay, so then it could have happened in any day of Nisan. Why did it happen on Rosh Chodesh? Why is it that the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'malachim? Rabbi Nazar says, Ki zeh b'chinas Rosh Chodesh. Let's study these two words, Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh means to renew. Rosh means leadership. That's when the Rosh, the Roshius, the leadership is renewed. Shayideze nizchachim kol haroshim kanal. It's through the putting up of the Mishkan, which occurred on Rosh Chodesh, that's what caused all the leadership to rise up. This is the concept behind what the Gemara says, that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'malachim. Now you understand why. Because the Mishkan was put up in Nisan, and within Nisan, the day which is most suitable for the appointeship of kings is Rosh Chodesh. Why? We said just now that Anivus, the place of the greatest Anivus, that's the place where there is the whole covered and everything. When the moon, we know, symbolizes Bnei Israel, when is the moon at its tiniest point? At the greatest anivus, on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is the day on which the moon is first being seen. It's at its smallest katnus. That's the day of Rosh Chodesh, when the whole Rosh Yis is Mischadesh. It's through the shiflus and anivus, bedafka, that brings about the establishment of leadership, this whole covering. But Moses on Likutei Halachos talks much more about this. Baruch Hashem.
What do we mean when we...
Yeah.
So when we see that all the governments are decided through his building the Mishkan, what do we mean by his building the Mishkan?
Meaning very simple. The Tzadik Emes, throughout his lifetime, does billions of mitzvahs, number one, plus he's Makarev Nefoshes, he builds a Heichal HaKodesh. We had a Torah before. He actually builds a Mishkan for Hashem. He sets up a shul or a Beis Medrash, like the Tanaim in the time of the Gemara, like rabbis today, whoever it is. They set up a shul, a Beis Medrash, into which they bring people close to Hashem. That shul, or Beis Medrash, is a Mikdosh Ma'at, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what's today's Beis HaMikdosh? The shuls and the yeshivas, that's today's Beis HaMikdosh. As they go about their work of bringing people into Kedusha and beautifying it and elevating them and bringing them close to Hashem, that's called the concept of Hakamas HaMishkan, putting up the Mishkan spiritually. Every day, in their day-to-day activity of putting up this Mishkan, they determine all the leadership of the world, how it goes, and what and when and who and how. Baruch Hashem.